The scene I see play out between Jesus and the tempter, which Molly and Leo so dramatically told, is a scene of choosing between instant pleasures or eternal fulfillment, rapid approval or radical discipleship, proof of God's protection, or a more questionable certainty. I like to think that each choice Jesus makes in the wilderness is a move toward the long game. Now, if you have patience to play the long game, chances are you are more likely to have a more favorable outcome. The Greek writer Aesop tells a fable of the tortoise and the hare. The rabbit, boastful and proud, questions why the turtle even bothers. You'll never win the race. In fact, the rabbit is so sure of its athletic prowess that it stops along the way to take a nap, thinking that with the turtle's pace, I have all the time in the world. Meanwhile, the turtle plods along and mutters to himself, slow and steady wins the race. He does not take a break. Sure enough, right when the rabbit began to yawn and stretch and begin to run again, the turtle was plodding across the finish line. And that fable was so helpful to me when I ran Chicago's Soldier Field 10 mile, where sometimes even walkers would speed past me, even though I was running the whole time. But I didn't stop. And I just kept saying, slow and steady wins the race. And for me, finishing was my winning. Chris and I had a significant breakthrough as new parents when we decided 6 months in that we had to play the long game. With the pediatrician's encouragement, we would finally let our daughter cry out in the night. That piercing cry had become the service bell at the all-you-can-eat buffet of maternal attention throughout the night, and we could never get more than an hour of sleep. It was brutal after we made the choice to let her cry it out for hours on end. That kid is persistent. However, 3 days later, she was consistently sleeping peacefully through the night, getting the rest she deeply needed. More importantly, her parents' marriage survived. To train for the spiritual long game, we follow Jesus into the wilderness. Lots can happen in the wilderness. It is a liminal time and space, a threshold, a point of entry between what once was and what could possibly be. In wilderness time, you are exposed. It is why some people may choose to take on a fast of some sort during Lent to expose the ways they fill themselves with substitutes for God. I like the way Barbara Brown Taylor puts it. It is necessary to encounter the world without anesthesia, to find out what life is like with no comfort but God. I'm convinced that 99% of us are addicted to something, whether it is eating, shopping, blaming, or taking care of other people. The simplest definition of an addiction is anything we use to fill the empty place inside of us that belongs to God alone. In the wilderness, the devil tempted Jesus with bread. Jesus ended up flipping the devil's intent. The devil wanted to break Jesus' fast, appealing to the most basic human physical urge to be fed. But rather than relying on his own power to turn a stone to bread, Jesus shared in the human experience of hunger. And instead of giving in to his hunger, Jesus played the long game. and later turned one of the most basic human physical needs, bread, and infused it with blessing, making it holy for us to eat in the communion meal. If Jesus can do that with the bread that we eat, could he possibly also do that with our lives? In the wilderness, the devil tempted Jesus with authority. It was a kind of authority expected of the Messiah. As a Jew, Jesus knew the prophecy that an anointed one would lead God's people as a great military and political leader, securing the peace of Israel for once and for all. Jeremiah 23 prophesies, "I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness through the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live safely." In the wilderness, Jesus had to struggle with whether he would become what the people expected the Messiah to be, a king over the nations of the world, or follow the long game of what God might call him to be. Jesus found it possible that God could enter the world at its weakest. If the Messiah can come in the form of one who will die on the cross rather than as a mighty king, is it possible that God could take up residence in my life, in yours? The tempter's third challenge to Jesus, he speaks none other than from the Holy Scriptures as the slick words to tempt Jesus. Psalm 91, from which the devil quotes, promises God's protection on all who trust God. Hear these words again. "Those who love me, I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life, I shall satisfy them and show them my salvation." The ESL Bible study is reading the book of Job right now. Job grapples with the question, if I love God and act justly, treat my neighbor with kindness, would God not then reward me with well-being in this life and in the next? And yet, as we all know, and as Job found, too many people who are deserving of all good rewards become the bearers of the worst kinds of news: an inoperable cancer, a teenager who experiences rape, a father who gets detained in an immigration sweep right after he drops his boy off at school. When these things happen, it shakes something loose in the formula we have been promised, and we're led to wonder, is either God not all-powerful? Is God not all-good? Is God not all-loving? Why does God let these things happen? So when the devil tempts Jesus to throw himself down from the highest point of the temple, he is asking Jesus to bank on the formulaic theology: a good person who loves God will receive assured protection. Jesus decides, though, not to put conditions on God's actions. He knows the story of Job, who experienced deep suffering despite having an apparently faultless relationship with God and neighbor. Perhaps he also knew that deserving can be a slippery slope. We can be so quick to call God into question when we face suffering in our lives or in the lives of those we hold dearly. But who is to say that folks standing in line waiting for work in labor pools aren't deserving? Who is to say that the 50,000 children on the brink of death due to famine in drought-parched Somalia are not deserving of life and the right to care for their families? Before Jesus could claim the authority to speak to people who suffer from loss, from poverty, and also who suffer from being the oppressors, Jesus needed time in the wilderness to struggle with God's role in human suffering. In the wilderness, Jesus prepared to meet his own suffering and death on the cross. And it is there that God meets us and knows our deepest loss, our deepest pain, and our deepest suffering. God is not there as a puppeteer trying to control and prevent, trying to choose who will suffer and who will succeed. But God is still there. God is at the side of those who hurt the most, sharing in their tears and holding them in love. In the wilderness, we grapple with the reality that no matter how well we play the long game, we will all one day die. There is no getting around it. Hopefully, it will be after a life lived long and lived well. But even when it is not, we can know this one supreme comfort. In life and in death, we belong to God. We do not belong to our temptations. We do not belong to our jobs. We do not belong to our grief. We do not belong to those who would do us harm. We belong to God. And God will never abandon us, even in, especially in, our deepest suffering. God's presence and love is unshakable. When you play the long game, the prize isn't necessarily at the end. It comes in the journey. There, even in the wilderness, you find out you belong to God's love. God will feed you. You discover in that close relationship who God calls, or more politely, invites you to be and to become. God will hold you, even to your death, for there is no place where you can go where God has not already been and where God will not be. Thank you, Jesus, for what you can show us in the wilderness. Be with us in these days of Lent so that we do not have to face the tempter by ourselves. Coach us in the long game. Amen.